It is 3:07 p.m. on Tuesday, February the 5th of 2013. Present is Representative Keller, Representative Pruitt, Representative Seaton, Representative Rambold, Representative Nagyak, Representative Tarr, and myself, Representative Higgins. All right, let the record reflect that we have a quorum. And also, I'd like to recognize Representative Mellett in the audience. And let's see here. I would also like to recognize our staff today. We have Butch Carver of the House Recording Secretary. We have Alex
Judiche
of the LIO Moderator, and Paul Verhagen, my Committee 8. All right, let's start with a little housekeeping. Let's please disable your electronic devices. If they're left on, even on vibrate, they may interfere with the recording systems. So, let's see here. We have one new bill today. That's HB 88, Statutory Reference to Mental Retardation, sponsored by Representative Mellett. So, I had intended to move this bill today, but we just received a committee substitute that is intended to resolve some issues brought to the attention of the sponsor. So we will hear the bill today, but we will not move it until Thursday. I'll entertain a motion to adopt committee substitute HB 88-28L SO400/U as the working document.
Mr. Chair, I would move version 28LS0400 uniform of HB 88 as our working draft.
Hearing no objections, committee substitute is before us for the purpose of discussion. Representative Millett, would you please come to the table, put yourself on record, and present to the committee the substitute? And can you please explain the differences between HB 88 and the committee substitute? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Higgins and members of the committee for hearing this bill. My name is Sharice Millett. I represent House District 24 in Anchorage. House Bill 88 and the committee substitute that you have adopted changes the statutes that we've had in place for a very long time with a clinical term that was once thought to be a very scientific word, mental retardation and mentally retarded. However, as things progress in time, it has become used as a derogatory term. So what we are trying to do with House Bill 88 is just change the language so those people with disabilities become more inclusive and have more respect from the folks in our state. 40 other states have adopted this language, and it's really called the People First Bill, and that's to make sure that folks understand that while it's a clinical term and good intentions, the vernacular does need to be changed. So with that, I have my staff here who will put himself on record and walk you through two minor changes that we have from the original draft to the CS that you just adopted.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of this committee. For the record, my name is Vasilios Galopsos. I am a staffer in the office of Representative Mellett. And it is going to be my privilege today to show you why we have this committee substitute and to also walk you through the provisions of this bill. The two fundamental differences between this substitute and the draft you had all received before this committee hearing would be located in pages 14 and 15. Page 14, section 28, specifically deals with a rule of construction. Those who are attorneys or who have read the federal statute of the passage of the bill known as Rosa's Law see this as a means of clarifying the intent of the legislator, and also being able to clarify any ambiguities that may exist within our criminal or civil statutes. And by that, what I mean specifically is that the intent of this bill is not to change the diagnosis of what it means to be a person with intellectual or developmental disabilities. It does not change the conditions of competency before courts. We are not in the business of being psychologists or doctors. What this simply does is reiterate that this is a change of labels. And though that may seem at surface a simple matter, the fact that we have so many stakeholders involved in this committee meeting willing to testify in support shows that the intent of being able to call someone a name that has now become a derogation, it has become an insult. It's something that we urge this body to be able to move past. And this simply clarifies it as being that. In no way changes either augmenting or constricting the provisions of state services at any level. as well as neither constricting nor augmenting the scope of the Department of Law. And we do have members from the Department of Law here, as well as members from the Department of Health and Social Services, to better clarify what that is. Section 29 is specifically dealing with the health and social services concerns of having to change the language within their administrative codes and the fiscal impact that that would have had. This amends that so that there is now going to be no fiscal burden on the state, on the Department of Health and Social Services. And we have Ms. Laughlin, who is willing to put herself on record, and we will have a fiscal note that is revised to reflect that cost of being non-impactful to this committee. So those are the two sections that are amended for this committee substitute. Are there any questions that I may be able to assist in or possibly direct?
Nope, see no questions.
At this point, Mr. Chair, there's one of two options. We can either go through in a sectional analysis, section by section, from sections 1 to 26 to 27, or we can give just a broad overview of what this bill essentially does. And I am disposed to either choice that this committee may have.
Does anybody object to a broad overview? Let's just do a broad overview.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Essentially, all that House Bill 88 does is goes through the statutes that we have currently, identifies the term mentally retarded, and substitutes that term with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Not one word is changed with regard to the conditions of how that comes about. Not one change comes about with regard to standards of competency. The only thing that changes, whether it be in Medicaid provisions with regard to the state, to labeling a facility that is an intermediate facility for housing individuals with these disabilities, to it being a matter of child protections, labeling a child with disabilities, state assistance conditions, is the label that we would ask to be changed today. And every section lays out before you, whether it be in the civil or the criminal codes, where that will be. I hope that's a sufficient enough overview.
Questions?
Of course.
Representative Pruitt?
If it's okay, can we refer to the fiscal notes from Health and Human Services?
Through the chair, absolutely.
I just want to, you know, and I understand, and is it Vasilis? Did I say it right?
Vasilis, through the chair, yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make, I understand what you're saying, and I want to make sure that we don't inadvertently kind of touch on something here. Of course, they have an indefinite or indeterminate fiscal note because, and I just want to read the very last line that's on the analysis. It says, although it does not appear that there is an intent to broaden the category of people who may be affected under AS 12, the criminal competency statute, or AS 7530, the civil commitment statutes, the legislation could be read inadvertently subject those with intellectual disabilities, development disabilities, to civil commitment under Title 47. Is that something that we're addressing potentially in the CS that's about to come out?
Through the chair, Representative Pruitt, that's exactly what we did by adopting the regulation language on the last part of the legislation that takes care of the fiscal note and does exactly what their worries were. So we'll have a new fiscal note.
Thank you. I'm good. I just wanted to make sure that was taken care of.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, and this may be a question for the Department of Law, but we're replacing the mentally retarded or mentally retarded with persons with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And I'm wondering whether this doesn't say and or. So does this limit the category that you have to both have intellectual disability and developmental disability to qualify? And, you know, this is a legal term using not having or in there, and I'm wondering whether you've discussed this, and if you haven't, I guess the Department of Law is here to address it.
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, it replaces intellectual and developmental disabled, replaces mental retardation. It does not expand the definition It is just a word replacement, so there's no expansion of the definition. There's no there's no change whatsoever in statute, in civil or criminal code. It doesn't make the person have to prove they're one or the other. It's just basically a label that we're changing. So there's no implication for proving that you're either intellectually or developmentally disabled. It's not either or. That is the new label.
And Mr. Chairman, I just want the Department of Law to put it on the record that that is the case and that you don't have to fit into both of those categories, intellectual and developmental disability, to be into that section. Just getting everything on the record, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions?
You have the Department of Law here if you'd like to.
Let's see here. Let's go with, are you done? Because we'll probably call them up.
Unless there's any other questions.
Okay. I don't see any other questions.
Okay.
Okay, let's move on. The Department of Health and Social Service Department wishes to address the committee. Mrs. Laughlin? Ms. Laughlin, come to the table, put yourself on record, or proceed with your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Wilda Laughlin. I'm legislative liaison to the Department of Health and Social Services. You've already touched on the comments I was planning to make. We did identify some possible inadvertent impacts of the bill. We met with the sponsor, and I just want to state for the record that the CS will zero out both of our fiscal notes.
Do you have any of your other department heads here to testify, or was it just you today? Just you?
We have someone from the Division of Senior and Disability Services for technical questions. If there are further questions.
No? All right. And Representative Seaton, you wanted to have someone from the law department if they're here to testify, correct?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, we do have someone for the Department of Law today, okay. Really.
For the record, my name is Stacey Crayley, and I'm Chief Assistant Attorney General with the Department of Law. And through the Chair, Representative Seaton, hopefully I can answer your question. If not, I believe Millie Ryan from the Governor's Council may be able to add some insight to this as well. But historically, the phrase mental retardation would encompass both individuals with mental and physical and the developmental disabilities. So the change in the vernacular, the nomenclature, is not meant to, as the Representative Millett identified, it's not meant to expand or change the definition. It's a substitution, a current substitution. So it's not an either or an and or. It encompasses both conditions.
So follow up to the and so I just want to make sure that you said the term previously covered someone with intellectual or developmental.
Correct.
And the term now is persons with intellectual and developmental, but that doesn't mean that they have to have both.
No.
To qualify under that term. Is that
through the chair, Representative Cedar, if I understand your question correctly, the answer to that is no. That it's not, an individual may not have what would be considered developmental disabilities, but still would meet the definition of intellectual and developmental disabilities, which previously would have been considered mentally retarded or have mental retardation. So it's simply a switch. It's not an expansion. There's no change in the construct of the definitions. It's just one phrase is being substituted for another phrase.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I was wanting to make sure it wasn't a contraction.
Right.
And so I'm glad we've got this on the record from the Department of Law, because legislative history on these things is very important. So thank you.
Thank you. I think Representative Tartt, didn't you have a question?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this would be back for Ms. Laughlin. For the fiscal notes that we're looking at right now, it's Department Support Services and, you know, Behavioral Health. But was one requested or is one necessary for Division of Senior and Disability Services?
Through the Chair, Representative Tartt,
No, there was no cost to that division.
Okay. And the council then not under that either?
Through the chair, no.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Stacy, just to be really clear on what Paul and the discussion here was, I think you inadvertently said physical when you were saying it. That word is not included in this bill at all, right? Am I right? This is intellectual and developmental.
Chair, Representative Keller, that is correct. And if I misspoke, it's developmental disabilities.
Yeah. No, you misspoke and you corrected yourself immediately, but I just wanted to be really clear for the record. Yeah, thanks.
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you for your testimony. At this time, I would like to open the floor to public testimony. So if there's anybody that would like to give public testimony, please come forward to the table. Just make sure you state your name and affiliation.
Thank you all for this opportunity. I'm Millie Ryan, the Executive Director of REACH, which is headquartered here in Juneau. On behalf of REACH and the 400 individuals with disabilities that REACH serves, we strongly support House Bill 88. Replacing hurtful language, it's not just semantics, and sometimes I think that's what people think it really is. But it really, when we change how we talk about people with disabilities, it's sort of a first step to making sure that they have the opportunity to be valued and contributing members of the community. Sometimes when people are labeled by hurtful language, it kind of limits their expectations for themselves and those around them, so they don't have the same opportunities as we all expect. And sometimes it keeps people from asking for help. More and more federal agencies and states are embracing the change in language. Just last week, the Social Security Administration announced that it's going to start using intellectual disabilities instead of mental retardation in its official listing of impairments. So I think this really speaks to the intent behind the bill and how it can make a difference to everyone. So again, thanks for hearing the bill. And if you have any questions, I'll introduce my colleague here. You're up, Chris.
Hello, my name is Chris Brenner. I'm glad to have this opportunity to be here and share my thoughts and opinions and with everyone here today. I'm 23 years old. I've been a client at REACH since I was 6 years old. I've been labeled mentally retarded since I was six. Since I was labeled, I've been through many struggles and been looked at and treated differently. I've been looked and treated differently by many people, and I've been made fun of a lot of times due to my label. Growing up, I've never liked the word. It's upset me and made me feel different from everyone else. I've wanted people to understand that I'm not that different. I just need help from time to time, like everyone else does. When people think or hear the word mentally retarded, they think an individual is dumb or it's not as smart or as capable as everyone else. That is how people have thought of me. People that know me and have seen me grow up throughout my life, I see that I'm just as capable and succeeding as doing things as everyone else. Now as an adult, I work full time, pay my own rent, pay my own taxes, and as of yesterday, I'm my own conservator. And when I was 18, people thought I was too retarded to take care of myself. So I proved them wrong by moving to my own apartment and becoming my own conservator. I have many close friends who are labeled retarded. Most of them feel judged and looked down upon because of this label. They are not comfortable coming here today, so I agreed to be their voice. From myself and my friends, I strongly urge you to change. It will make people feel better about themselves. It will make people make it so that some younger people will not have to grow up with this label and feel judged. I'm not dumb. My friends aren't dumb. I'm independent, and this word makes people feel demeaned and that they're not independent. This word is wrong, and it needs to be changed so it can change people's lives. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you. Well,
Hello, Mr. Chairman and the committee. My name is Kim Champney, and I'm here as the president of the Alaska Association on Developmental Disabilities. My testimony isn't nearly as compelling as Chris's, but I did want you to know AADD represents about 40 provider agencies across the state. Some of our largest members are HOPE, ARC, Assets, Fairbanks Resource Agency, REACH here in Juneau. And we wholeheartedly support this bill. We have no reservations about this change. We already use this language in our agencies, except when we have to fill out state forms. So on behalf of the providers of services to people with disabilities, I ask that you pass House Bill 88 out of the committee so it can be voted on by the House. Thank you.
Questions? No questions. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else on the floor that would like to give testimony? And then at that time, let's go to the online. And do we have an Eric from Nenana on Chair of Council of Disabilities?
Hi, my name is Eric Gebhardt, and I am the chair of the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education, and as such, I will speaking and informing you of the position of the Governor's Council on this important bill. Should I go ahead?
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, sorry.
That's okay.
The Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education is the state council on developmental disabilities. The Special Education Advisory Panel and the Interagency Coordinating Council for Infants and Toddlers with Disabilities. As Alaska's Council on Developmental Disabilities, the council is charged with advising the state on issues that affect individuals with developmental disabilities. Council members are people with disabilities, family members of individuals with disabilities, state agency representatives, service providers, and other interested members of the public. The council's mission is to create change that improves the lives of individuals with disabilities. The council supports HB 88 and the with the change to change the term mental retardation to intellectual and developmental disabilities in Alaska statutes. Language can be a powerful tool. It can inspire, motivate, and uplift, or it can hurt, isolate, and oppress. The council commends Representative Millett for responding so quickly to the council's request to introduce a respectful language bill to change state statutes. We would also like to thank all the co-sponsors of the bill. Many members of the council have experienced themselves or for their loved ones the negative influences of the word retardation. Not only is it used as an insult, but it also carries a negative stereotype that influences how others view individuals with developmental disabilities, their potential, and their value to and by society. Mental retardation is a good example of a negative word evolution. Mental retardation was created to replace other negative words that had come to characterize an insult such as moron, imbecile, and feeble-minded. Now mental retardation has come to represent the very same stereotype it was created to replace. So as you vote to change this term, remember that as leaders, you can also influence policies that will eliminate stereotypes that determine where a person will be educated, encourage high expectations of students with disabilities, and eliminate barriers to graduation. Across the nation, states are choosing to replace old negative language with people-first language. In 2010, Congress passed Rosa's Law, which was mentioned earlier, and that Rosa's Law made this change in federal law. Many other states have changed their state statutes, including New York, New Hampshire, Arkansas, Connecticut, Minnesota, Mississippi, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Vermont, Washington, and Utah. It is time in our state and nation to reshape our language to refer to all people in a respectful and positive manner. We applaud the House Health and Social Services Committee for bringing this issue to committee early in the session. If you have questions, please feel free to contact the Governor's Council at 907-269-8990. Thank you for this opportunity, and thank you for your work and the responses of so many of you to the request of council members when we were there a couple weeks ago. Thanks.
Thank you. Questions?
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Gebhardt, I was just wondering if the council has resources to do outreach to students, because in preparing for this bill to come before committee, one of the opportunities that we identified was, should this bill, you know, pass through the legislature, you could reach out to youth to, you know, maybe have a brochure that went into grade schools or something to help educate them about language and how important, you know, it is to not use hurtful language, and some of the, you know, would coincide, I think, with some of the efforts going on in the schools. And I don't know if you currently have the resources for that, or if, you know, if you would need some additional support to do that.
I would say, I mean, one of the things that we do have the capacity to do is communicate with organizations. We do help with the creation of such. I don't know that we have the resources to actually do printing and other things, but in our role to create change that improves the lives of individuals with disabilities, I'm certain we could lead in that and we could work that out. Mm-hmm. Okay. Does that answer your question?
Sure. I mean, one of the things I would love to see is a little bit of support to do that outreach, you know, to youth especially, you know, to sort of change the trend in that language use. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And we would be happy to do that.
Representative Rimbold.
Okay. Thank you. And just a follow-up from Representative Tarr. This is Representative Rimbold. I know you can't see us, so that's why I'm identifying myself. But I think possibly there's a lot of initiatives out there, anti-bullying initiatives out there, and I'm wondering if there's a way we can tie into those, mm-hmm. partner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly think so. And, I mean, use of negative language, whether it be you know, towards those with disabilities or towards others, that is a form of bullying. So I absolutely agree that that this could be something that could be tied into that. Since I am a superintendent of schools, if I could throw that hat on for a second, I do know that the State Council on Student Governments, the Student Governments Association has done different initiatives where they've talked about getting the R word out of schools and things. Mm-hmm. So I think we also have a student leadership organization that we could utilize in terms of this as well.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Rick Nelson and Teresa Holt with the Governor's Council, are you on?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Would you like to give testimony?
Yes. I am Rick Nelson. I am the vice
chair of the Governor's Council.
But I gave you my
Let me give you guys my personal story.
I support the passing of the HSAA.
I support this bill with a passion of HB88.
Yeah. I have
I have a developmental disability.
I
Thank you, Rick. Any questions? Kylene Lamb, Wallbusters, are you on?
Yeah.
Go ahead and...
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Can you go ahead and just state your name and your affiliation for us?
Okay. I'm Kylene Lamb, K-A-L-E-E-N-E, Lamb, L-A-M-B. I'm from Wallbusters.
Go ahead with your testimony.
Okay. I want to tell you a kind of like a personal story. I was teased when I was a kid all the time. People teased me and everything. I would appreciate having the House Bill 88 changed to a delicate disability. To help everybody else when they was younger, they don't have to go through what I went through when I was growing up. When I was growing up, everybody teased me, and I can't go to school and stuff like that, and it took me a long time just to get where I'm at now. It's just a label. I just don't like labels. But please just change this one. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Questions? Carol Anderson from Challenge, Alaska. Are you online?
Yes, I certainly am. Thank you very much.
Okay, go ahead. We're waiting for your testimony.
All right, thank you. Greetings to all, and thank you for this privilege of speaking today on behalf of Challenge Alaska, Port of Houseville 88.
Hey, Carol, can you state your name and your affiliation for the record?
Yes, my name is Carol Anderson, and I am the chair of the Challenge Alaska Board.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
All right, thank you very much. I've been listening to the other testimonies, and I'm very affected by the courage it takes for those to speak up and to help inspire this important change. Language is a powerful tool. I can see here today how it can inspire and motivate. It can also cause emotional damage, isolate, or bully. So many nationwide and in Alaska have experienced horrible negative influences that have come from that word retardation and all its associated stigma. Used as an insult, it implies such a negative stereotype, and it influences all our lives, not just the individuals who are affected with developmental disabilities. If I may please share a quote by Ingrid Bengus, words are a form of action capable of influencing change. As I try to prepare to speak to all of you today, I've been searching online for what's been happening elsewhere in America and the world in regards to this. On Wikipedia, they refer to mental retardation. And yes, in the past, it was used as a generalized term implying a disorder characterized by significantly impaired cognitive functioning and deficits in two or more adaptive behaviors. It's also been historically defined as having an IQ below 70. But once focused almost entirely on cognition, the definition now includes both a component related to mental functioning and one relating to individual's functional skills. So as a result, a person with below average intelligence quotient or IQ may not be considered mentally retarded. The terms used for this condition have become subject to a prospect. The process can be called the euphemism treadmill. This means whatever term has been chosen for the condition, it eventually became perceived as an insult. As a prior speaker mentioned today, the term mental retardation, or MR, is a very good example of negative word evolution. When those terms, mental retardation, mentally retarded, were invented in the middle of the 20th century to replace the previous set of terms, which had then become deemed offensive, but now, as we came to the end of the 20th and into the 21st century, these terms, the term mental retardation, is widely seen as disparaging and politically incorrect. The term intellectual disability or intellectually challenged is now preferred by most. We should definitely follow through in suit with what other states and the U.S. are doing. 2007, New York signed a law into statute ensuring that all new or revised state laws use the people first language. Similar changes occurred in other states, Arkansas, New Hampshire, Connecticut, Minnesota, Mississippi, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Vermont, Washington, and Utah. It is time in our state and nation to reshape language to refer to all people in a respectful and positive manner. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? No. Is there anyone else online that would wish to testify?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Tark.
For the last speaker, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Carol, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay, thank you. So I'm unclear what your position was on the bill. Were you supporting the bill, or were you suggesting a change? And what was the other example used instead of intellectual disability? You said something else.
Intellectually challenged.
Okay, so you weren't advocating using that language instead. You were just using that example.
Yes, the example. And then I also wondered if during the hearing you're picking up on Rosa's Law, which was finding law by President Obama in October 2010. And it refers to this, from mental retardation, you wipe from all federal health, education, and labor law, intellectual disability, part of the 2010 measure designed to foster people with marriage with same disabilities. And it's referring to how states are passing similar measures. But I wondered if those of law is being taken into consideration as we evolve. It's a question, if anyone is able to answer that.
Well, Carol, thank you for your testimony. You're breaking up towards the end there, but we appreciate your thoughts. Is there anyone else online that would like to testify? No further questions from the committee? Then at this point, I'm going to close public testimony.
Mr. Chairman.
And, well, hold on. And then also I'd like to do a little a brief at ease.
I can do that, right? Yeah, brief at ease.
Order again, and let's see. Ms. Wilda, can you come to the table one last time? Thanks. Representative Pruitt would like to ask a question.
I just want to confirm we have uniform, but we don't have so the U version, but we don't have any new fiscal notes. The fiscal notes were based off of A. Before the consideration of passing it out, I want to make sure that the question that was addressed earlier that I believe was answered, but I want to make sure that we're clear on it, is addressed through the new sections 28 and 29 that were added into the uniform version of the bill. Is that correct?
For the record, Wilda Laughlin, Legislative Liaison for Health and Social Services. Yes, the committee substitute, if I understand your question, zeros both fiscal notes. We address that, confirm that in the committee, and then we'll have fiscal notes to catch up with the committee substitute.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure we got confirmation that it was uniform. What was the correct CS on that? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, after hearing testimony and discussion with the committee, we've decided to move this bill forward. So with that said, we just have to call the question, right?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move CS for House Bill 88, version 28LS0400, uniform. That's with 20 fiscal notes and one to be forthcoming from Health and Social Services with individual recommendations.
Correct. There's no objection.
Okay. No objection.
There's no objection. I just have a wrap-up comment.
All right.
Move it.
And we move it. It passes. And Representative Rimble, you have it.
Okay. I just want to make a final comment. This is a bill that wouldn't necessarily catch the attention of everybody. So I just want to say thank you to Representative Millett for bringing it. There's so many priorities right now, and sometimes we lose touch with some of our constituents and people that are really suffering out there. And I wanted to say thank you to REACH and thank you to Challenge Alaska and for all the people that were brave enough to testify. I think that it was very moving. It was very appreciative. And if us as legislators are able to make the world just a little bit more friendly place or a little bit safer place, then I think we've done our job. So I just want to say thank you.
Thank you. Let's see. Well, thank you for everybody that came today for testifying. The committee appreciates your time and your effort. At our next meeting, we'll be presenting a presentation from the Children's Justice Act Task Force. We'll also be hearing HB 54, sponsored by Representative Gara. Let the record reflect that Health and Social Services Committee meeting stands adjourned at
3:55.
Was it 3? 3:55. 3:55. Thank you.